Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. I hope you have your Subway Cadbury Cream Egg Easter sandwich ready. Tonight, the news is amazing. Holy shit, what is this? Subway sandwich with the cream egg. And the name of the sandwich is called Absolutely Disgusting. That's not just a descriptor, it is the name of the sandwich. They say it comes with the Italian bread and a bunch of cream egg, Cadbury chocolate. I was thinking maybe it's an April Fool's joke that's late or something, but no, it seems that they want to do this. But they're not going to sell it, it's going to be given for free. And there will be 500 of them at specific locations in England. What is the point of doing this? I guess the point is that I'm talking about it and it gives free publicity to Subway. But I don't see this becoming a staple. Hermit says bread and Nutella work together, but this is another level. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, if you think of it as a dessert, breakfast, Nutella-style sandwich, it does make sense, but it's kind of not associated in my head. The Subway sandwich would have meat, mustard, vegetables, and so you really have to remove all of this and realize it's really chocolate on a bread. And that may not be so disgusting, but still, it is quite shocking. Today I appeared on Cut in the Middle, a very small podcast. So if you'd like to go watch my appearance, we talk. I mean, this is one of the guys who, you know, he interviews me and he didn't know much about me. This guy has started his Twitter account a couple of days ago. And it's so funny to have a guy who comes out of nowhere and it's like he talks to me and he doesn't know about the revolutionary phenotype. He doesn't appear to have any idea what internet blood sports were. So it's holy shit. It's like, oh, there are people who have lived off the internet for the last 15 years. Well, he seems to be one of them, but he was quite open intellectually and quite interesting to speak to. And he didn't even call me JF. It's like, holy shit, a virgin mind coming from the jungle. Well, that was still interesting. So, we talked about AI, we talked about right, left, truth. He's starting out, and at the end he asked me to give him counseling for improving his speech on the public space, and I told him, it's all about delivery, because I saw in his style of interviewing, he's still very much interviewing like an unexperimented human being, you know, someone who wants to deliver their thoughts. But this business is not about delivering your thoughts. This business is about producing. It's about performance, giving the most compressed view of information you can in the least amount of time. And there's no time to... Oh, yeah, and, you know, I was also thinking, and no, there's no such thing. If there's a second of you on the internet where you say, I was also thinking loosely, no, you're done, it's over. You always need to be on the news. Look, next news, next item. Holy shit, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running for president. Wow, that is very interesting. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running for president. He is running against Biden. He will be running within the Democrat camp. And this guy has been, I think it's very interesting. If he had been a Republican candidate, I would have been kind of annoyed because I would be like, okay, we do get the vaccine resistance with him. But other than this, we get environmentalism. We get... no social conservatism in particular. And so I think he would have been an unfit option for the Republican. But it's very interesting to think of a potential success of is on the side of Democrats, because that would be extremely interesting to be in a situation where we know we are headed with a president that's for medical liberty. It would certainly be a great thing if that was him against Ron DeSantis or him against Trump. That would be beautiful. But Tuttle Grimm says no chance. The DNC will select whoever will best serve the globalist agenda. Yeah, it would be quite a reversal of power of the order within the Democrat Party if this guy, who's pointed to as an anti-vaccine activist, if this guy was to win. But here's the circumstance in which I see something interesting, potentially. Imagine that we start the campaign for the primaries. Imagine that Joe Biden dies. I mean, the FBI has killed presidents before, but Joe Biden doesn't need the FBI. Joe Biden could very well die on his own. So that would be a kind of special scenario in which, hey, it's not impossible that this guy could end up being the best choice that the globalists would accept to take, you know, saying, oh, shit, we have no choice but to vote for him or else we're getting Marianne Williamson or we're losing with Kamala Harris. There is a possibility. What you're telling me, JF, is that there's a chance. There is a chance. Elon Musk says, in the coming weeks, Twitter will prioritize replies by 1, people you follow, 2, verified accounts, 3, unverified accounts. So the verified accounts will get just below the people you follow. And I suppose that if you have both been verified and you follow the person, you will end up at the top. He says, verified accounts are 1,000 times harder to game by bot and troll armies. There is great wisdom to the old saying, you get what you pay for. I like this. I think it's good. It's a good thing that I've done in my life to be following the money, because super chats, if you don't have a system to kind of exclude the unimportant and exclude the thoughts that are not well phrased, you end up having too much to answer and it ends up being subjected to spam. That's why super chats have always been guiding this show very well, I find. People can put a little bit of money behind what they believe in, and therefore I'm forced to answer it. That is a good mechanism of truth seeking. It's like, if you really think that what you have is worth losing everyone's time on the show, you pay a little bit, and that helps the show survive. Elon Musk is doing the same with Twitter, and I think it's very much a good approach. Now, Elon Musk has been pissing off NPR today. NPR objects to Twitter's state-affiliated media label. NPR is objecting to Twitter's decision to label the network. It's beautiful. They labeled it U.S. state-affiliated. Now, what were the other organizations that had this label? China with some of its media, Russia with some of its media, like RT, and it had been used as a mechanism of the left to basically discredit the Russian government and discredit any sort of pro-Russia coverage during the Ukraine war. Now, Elon Musk is veering this whole thing on its head. And he's saying, hey, what's the difference between Vladimir Putin giving money to Russia today and the American Public Media Corporation, or whatever the name is, of this thing that is basically funded by American Congress? And ultimately, that money down the line goes to NPR. So it is a communistically funded organization. Now, they will say, well, it's just 1% of our budget. Well, you know, Russia Today also has other sources for its funding. Harold says, where did the RNA come from? Well, if you read my book, you will find in chapter 10 that RNA came from proteins. So all you need to have is a protein self-replicator or self-replicator of some kind, or a protein using a tRNA, which is a segment of 72 to 90 nucleotides long, and you have the cycle of replication that started life. You have proteins making a tRNA. The tRNA makes the protein. The protein makes the tRNA. Now you're in a replicator tango. Now you've created some RNA. RNA used to be a phenotypic machine of a protein-based life form. That is what happened. And RNA eventually became a self-replicator. And eventually RNA entered in a replicator tango with DNA. And DNA became a self-replicator. That's where we're at. All right, so yes, NPR was defending their journalism. They were saying, we were disturbed to see last night that Twitter has labeled NPR as state-affiliated media, a description that, per Twitter's own guideline, does not apply to NPR. Well, the thing is that it was written explicitly. Things like the BBC and NPR are not included in those guidelines. But other than this, other than the fact that some leftists had been manually inserting this statement, NPR was fitting the description. So it's like NPR fits all of the description. And then there's a little sentence that says, but not NPR and not BBC. And what Twitter did is they eventually erased this part, but the rest of the description has stayed the same. So you've always been qualifying for this label, NPR. They just had made an exception for you, and now they removed it. Now, amazingly, and that I find is very troubling, Elon Musk has decided to leave the part that says the BBC, it doesn't apply to them. And what they phrased it as, if you get funded by the state, you get this label, unless you have a policy of editorial independence from the government. And it's probably just that NPR doesn't happen to have thought about this and have, you know, developed an explicit policy. But I wouldn't be surprised that NPR considers themselves independent from the U.S. government. So I think it's way too weak here, because any organization can claim to have a policy, but ultimately the human beings at the top will determine whether the government influences the coverage. And so I think Elon Musk should just remove all of this, should remove the idea of an editorial policy of independence, because there's no mechanism to force them to have one. Even if they say they have one, they can totally ignore it. So if I was Elon Musk, I would totally put the label on the UK-sponsored BBC. And yes, the Canadian CBC also. Per Palm says, now let's see Twitter label CBC and CTV as government propagandists. Absolutely, I would definitely want this to happen. So not very clever to have just made it, to have made an exception to de-exceptionalize NPR, but not to have applied this de-exceptionalization for all of the other. And all of this on the pretension, on the pretense that, oh, the NPR is the only one who don't have an editorial policy of independence. The thing is, NPR could come tomorrow and say, oh yeah, here's our new policy of independence. Now, what are you going to do, Elon? Put the label on all of these motherfuckers. Anne says they still call themselves objective on NPR. Lol. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Look at them. They even published... They said Twitter labels NPR's account as state-affiliated media, which is untrue. Twitter added a state-affiliated media tag to NPR's main account on Tuesday. NPR operates independently of the U.S. government. And while federal money is important to the overall public media system, NPR gets less than 1% of its annual budget on average from federal sources. Well, you probably get a lot of state sources also, I would guess. That's why you phrased it as federal sources. No, I think if you get 1%, it places you in the category. I get 0%. I have to pay tax to my government so that my government can fund my competitors in the media industry. That is insane. Deadstar says, Jeff, check Robert Kraft's new brainchild. The algorithm hit me with this one last night. Try not to laugh. Hashtag, well, I'm going to have to consult this offline, bro, because you send me stuff about edgy subjects. I don't know what they're going to say. I have no mechanism. I'm going to check it later tonight. All right, what else did I want to talk about? John Lansing from NPR published an official statement. We were disturbed. A description as per Twitter's own guideline that does not apply to NPR, that is false. NPR and our member stations are supported by millions of listeners who depend on us for the independent, fact-based journalism we provide. NPR stands for freedom of speech and holding the powerful accountable. It is unacceptable for Twitter to label us this way. A vigorous, vibrant, free press is essential to the health of our democracy. But you've not been. You've not been a vigorous, vibrant, free press. You've not been doing the kind of work that Project Veritas does. So you've been kneeling to your masters for so long that we can only assume that this channel of funding onto you and the fact that you are funded by, if not by the government, for the rest of your revenue by leftist viewers who are giving you donations from their state salary, that it got to you and that it changes your, that it changed your approach. Deadstar says it's appropriate for the show. Deadstar, this was not something I wanted to play live. This was something I would have wanted to watch alone. You told me deceptively it's safe for the show. Well, it is safe for the show in the sense that I can play it and we can talk about it, but it's an edgy subject that I would want, that I would have wanted to review on my own. So fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And I'm tempted to ban you. I'm tempted to ban you because you have been careless and you have been leading me toward exactly something I didn't want to review. Here, I'm going to ban you. Come back and talk to me in a month and we'll see then if I want you back. But this was extremely deceptive of yours. Extremely deceptive. Well-known crypto tech exec murdered in San Francisco stabbing. Well-known crypto tech executive Bob Lee was stabbed to death early Tuesday morning near downtown San Francisco. The 43-year-old Lee was perhaps best known for starting Cash App, and as former CTO of Square, he was the chief product officer of San Francisco-based crypto startup Mobile Coin. So we are at the point where the innovators of San Francisco are, you know, who have put together companies that became gigantic in the big tech sector. They are ultimately rejoined by the statistics. The statistics comes back to haunt them. That if you let crime happen so much around you, stochastically, there's going to be someone planting a knife into your heart and you die. Even if you're very rich, even if you have been very successful in life. So it's all untenable, this building of an empire that controls everything on the internet, but that is super costly to live in, that is super disagreeable to live in because there's criminality all around you. So it's unsustainable, this combination of leftism and softness on crime. it won't survive long term, because there is a point at which intelligent people will be driven away from this kind of event. Smart enough to make millions, dumb enough to live in San Francisco. Exactly. Exactly what happened. Ukraine is ready to give up Crimea, says Zelensky advisor. Yeah, but that is so late, bro. You are so late on this concession that I'm afraid that you are delusional. I'm afraid that you are delusional. And, you know, Crimea has always has already been taken by Russia, not even in this war. It's been taken by Russia before. There is, I think I would be very surprised if Russia was to suddenly want to return to the status of having only Crimea, which they were there before starting this war. So I don't get it. They are so delusional in their demands. Russia has already taken the entire southern portion of your country, except Odessa. What are you going to do about this? What are you able to push them back? Because if you're not able to push them back, they're going to keep it. Micronova sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, I am willing to give up my claim on your house if you give me something in return. Okay, okay. You're willing to give up your claim on my house? All right, you get the bathroom and one of the bedrooms. I'm willing to give you one of the bathrooms and one of the bedrooms. No, I mean, it's exactly what we are being presented with here. And there's just no reason why I would give you one of the bathroom and one of the bedrooms, because it's my house. And the south of Ukraine has been taken by Russia already. John Drake says, astronomers have found a black hole 300 times bigger than our Milky Way galaxy. What the fuck is this? Why are you sending me this? This is from 2020. A black hole cannot be greater than our galaxy. What the fuck is this? A black hole is very small. And I'm not even just talking about the singularity here. I'm saying even the event horizon is relatively small. So I can read if you want, but this looks like a bunch of crap. Another major revelation in the cosmic universe has been made by scientists courtesy of the VLT. This one extends to over 300 times the size of the Milky Way and might just be the key to solving one of the biggest mysteries of the universe. A total of 6 galaxies located around a supermassive black hole. Well, you know, learn to write titles. Whatever, indiatimes.com. Learn to write titles. Because here you say, a black hole is 300 times bigger than our Milky Way galaxy. And here you say, oh no, but it's 6 galaxies that are rotating around a black hole. What a bunch of crap. Crap links. Crap contributions, John Drake. Crap everything. There were a number of trans people in the audience, and Matt Walsh just went very strong on them.
Trans ideology is the most toxic evil our nation faces today, and it must be burned to the ground, destroyed completely. Now, if you are a trans-identified person, and you hear that, you should be the most on board with this campaign, because trans ideology has taken more from you than it's taken from me.
Beautiful speech, 6 minutes long, and Matt Walsh is going very strong. Very strong. He is telling them, you know, this lie that you're telling yourself by engaging in LGBT activism is going to ruin your life, and it's going to ruin your life much more than mine. And you have an interest in someone like me coming to tell you you're wrong. You're just wrong about reality. And that is absolutely stunning, beautiful. Matt Walsh, of course, I can have hesitations about him at times, but on this issue, he is very solid. He's been extremely solid. On the What is a Woman documentary, it was a fun documentary. It missed some aspects. But on the trans issue, he is becoming a leading voice and very rational. Dating Thomas says, Jeff, NPR ridiculously paints itself as viewer-funded and leans on its independence in their money drives as much as Molyneux, then disclaims in their news pieces that it is sponsored by various corporations. Yeah, there's a bizarre thing going on with NPR. I've not consulted their pieces, as you mentioned them, and I've not seen those sponsors. But there's something very creepy about their press. You know, they are siding with an extremely leftist far view, an extremely leftist view, and yet they are funded by individuals, or so they claim. Micronova says, "Oh, what's the deal with that? Often the trans person get fined $25,000 in Canada, a pending law or some shit." Yeah, it's a law that they're working on in Ontario. It's not been submitted yet, so it's not an application. But the law would basically make it criminal to do hate speech around a place where LGBT people are congregating. So basically the law says, all right, there's already a hate speech law in Canada, but if you were to do this hate speech crime around 100 meters, basically it's to stop those anti-trans protests. And you know, these tough guys who go into the libraries and they stop the reading hour, the story hour with, how do they even call it? The drag queen story hour. Basically, they want to stop these protests that are being done in the face of the LGBT people in those events. And so they want to create a perimeter of security of 100 meters around which, if you come to protest something that is LGBT, you would be arrested and there would be an increased punishment if you do hate speech, because hate speech is already a crime. But if you were to do hate speech on those premises or around those premises, there would be an increased punishment. Look, protest. I think it totally violates freedom of belief. It might actually not even pass in Canada. It might actually be problematic with the equivalent of our First Amendment in the Canadian Constitution. But would it get applied? And also, in Canada, a provincial government can decide to ignore the Constitution as long as they explicitly say it in the law. So the Constitution, this is what they call the non-obstant clause, and you just have to write into the law, non-obstant the Constitution, blah, blah, blah. And so maybe they will use this. I don't know. Maybe they will want to protect this pro-LGBT law by saying the Constitution doesn't apply here. But when you do that, you have to renew the law every, 5 years? I think 5 years. Leonardo DiCaprio testifies that CCP-linked Malaysian financier, now a fugitive, sent $30 million to Obama during the 2012 campaign. He told me that he and a group were going to make a significant contribution to the Democratic Party. I said, wow, that's a lot of money. So apparently there is this case on determining whether foreign influence played a role in supporting Barack Obama, and Leonardo DiCaprio somehow found himself to be forced to go testify. And he just mentioned that he was talking with this mega millionaire. And the mega millionaire told him, I want to give $30 million to Obama. But that doesn't confirm that the money was given. But perhaps in this trial, I don't know, but whatever the trial is about, perhaps they will have other evidence that shows, oh yes, this $30 million was given to Obama. Very interesting. New York subway. Interesting scene here on the New York subway. So you can see that the man is trying to establish eye contact, and everyone knows exactly what to do. They are thinking, here's a mentally sick man. If my eyes cross his eyes, I might get in trouble. So they all look on the floor. This is how you survive in New York right now. But one woman will commit the error of crossing his eyesight. He's looking for a victim. He is looking for someone who will react. 34th Street. Now, notice that the lady here is consuming, I believe, what is mac and cheese. That is very weird. Eating your mac and cheese right there in the New York subway, I mean, that's quite the environment. I'm available to the M34 select bus service. Connection is available to the Long Island Railroad, New Jersey Transit, and... So he's asking for donations.
This is an accessible station. The elevator is...
And there you go. He has spotted the mac and cheese, and he will have a mac and cheese reaction. And see, she establishes eye contact. All of these people knew what to do. They didn't establish eye contact. He's been fixating the mac and cheese. She raises her eyes toward him, and look at his behavioral response toward her and the mac and cheese. He flees. He flees with the mac and cheese container. I mean, look at the bright fluorescent mac and cheese, or maybe popcorn. You know, maybe it's popcorn. I don't know. But it all gets onto the floor, and look at it. He's taking a bite. This is all a guy just wanting to eat. Look at this. Takes the mac and cheese, destroys the whole thing. But look at it. He puts it in his mouth as quick as he can. And flees. Well, well, well. This guy wanted to eat the mac and cheese. He found an interest for this food, and he took it. Big tech exodus. That's the funniest shit I've ever seen. Yes, it is quite funny. Quite funny. This is why property is important in a society. Because this guy just ruined 99% of the mac and cheese to get, what, 4 or 5 noodles in his mouth? I mean, if he had asked respectfully, perhaps the lady would have given him the full plate of mac and cheese. But he wants to adopt violence to take the property of someone else, and because he does so, he destroys most of the property. And we end up here with a full mac and cheese worth maybe $2, a full craft dinner maybe worth $2, but $1.99 has been wasted. And we find ourselves with only 1 cent of craft dinner in someone's mouth, not even the original owner of the craft dinner box. Elon Musk says, as promised. Oh yeah, so now we have insight into why the Twitter logo was changed to the Doge dog. Apparently, it was a promise made by Elon Musk back on March 26th, and I don't know which year. Doesn't seem to indicate the year here. But on some year of a March 26th tweet, he had said, is a new platform needed? And the Wall Street Bets chairman had responded, just buy Twitter and change the bird logo to a Doge. And Elon Musk had said, with a typo, haha, that would be sick. So there we go. We have Elon Musk holding up on his promise. That is why we have a Doge emoji instead of the Twitter logo. It's something that he found funny a long time ago, before even buying the platform. Micronova says, we have the tech to make tiny personal cabins for train travel to keep people away from crazies. We have the tech, but that would be something very hard to implement as part of New York Metro. I mean, you have to think of the rotation here. There is a lot of people who use the metro, and sometimes it's stacked in the mornings. You would lose a lot of space if you were to make cabins, let me tell you. Technology mogul and dad, dubbed Crazy Bob, who founded Cash App, was stabbed multiple times. Well, that's a news item I've already covered through the Zero Hedge article. Someone discovered that the Bitcoin white paper is hidden in every modern copy of Mac OS. While trying to fix my printer today, I discovered that a PDF copy of Satoshi Nakamoto's Bitcoin white paper apparently ships with every copy of Mac OS since at least the release of Mac OS Catalina in 2019. I've asked over a dozen Mac-using friends to confirm, and it was there for every one of them. And apparently the document is found in a test of the virtual scanner, and it's a PDF document called Simple Doc. So it looks like it may be the trace of some test, that they were testing the scanner, and then it worked, but they took a snapshot of the OS as such. But it is also possible that it was put there intentionally by someone who truly believed in the cause of Bitcoin and who wanted to spread it all across the world. Absolutely beautiful. Micronova says, yes, state train system, very ineffective on its money. Japan does a private contract system within boundaries set by the state that gets renewed for stretches of train routes. Okay, interesting. I don't know about the Japanese system. There is a shooting we need to talk about, police shooting. Look, we can have a look at the evidence, and then I will deliver my thoughts. But my thoughts are, don't kidnap policemen. Because you can say, he was unarmed. If you kidnap a policeman, the fact that you were unarmed, I will consider it as a matter of detail. In this case, we have the case of a bunch of police who try to do the safest thing possible. They're stuck with a criminal sleeping in his car once again. They fall asleep in their car because they have nowhere to sleep, I guess. So they fall asleep in their car and they've done some illegal stuff. In this case, it was evidence that the car had been stolen. So you have this 17-year-old sleeping in the car, and we have the big problem of, what if we wake him up and he has a gun and he pulls it within a second? So how do you do this safely? They try everything they can by trying to neutralize his arms as they wake him up. But as he wakes up, what does he do? He flees with the car. But there's a policeman stuck in the car. Now, if you're the policeman stuck in the car, you end up in the problem that this guy could speed, this guy could drive recklessly, and this guy probably will drive recklessly since he's fleeing from the police. And at some point, if he becomes suicidal in the process, he's going to reach maximal speed and he's going to kill himself and you. So what do you have to do as a police when you get kidnapped? You have to shoot the guy. That is just what happened. So we have a 17-year-old here. Here's just a segment of the police discussion on four different webcams. Oh, well, I'm going to have to reload the page.
I'll lock it quietly. If he doesn't get startled in and he's still knocked the hell out, then I can open the door and make entrance for anyone to go in there and grab him.
So they're discussing, they're setting up.
Don't grab my neck.
I don't understand. One thing they should do there is why don't you park a police car right in front of him so that he has difficulty accelerating?
Oh, of course not. No. Got four kids at home that remind me of that every day.
So they approach the car. They have different tactics. They wonder, should I open the door? And here, this guy opens the door from the back. He's still sleeping. He's on the driver's seat. He has a baseball bat. He uses a small wand that allows him to unlock the front passenger seat, the front passenger door. So they have one agent from this side who has control of one of his arms. The other agent is here, potentially grabbing from the window. But see, he moves and he gets on the other side because he realizes he doesn't have enough reach. And somehow... So the police here is getting pulled by the car. Somehow the guy in the don't move, despite the don't move orders, succeeds at starting the car and driving away. But this is just the four body cams of the police who were outside the car. Now let's look at the perspective from the police who got stuck in the car. Now, see, this police will have an opportunity to come and grab his right arm. So that's why he will feel compelled to get into the car.
Police, don't move.
So he has an opportunity to grab the right arm. But somehow the guy, despite being just awakened, and held by two police on the two sides, is somehow able to put his keys and start the car. Now the guy is driving, and we have a police stuck in the car. You are committing a kidnapping.
Stop or I'll shoot
and boom boom boom. So they have made this a censored part, which is okay. And so it was seconds where the police is realizing, okay, I'm stuck in a car, I'm in a deadly situation, I could die. If this guy reaches maximal speed and hits an obstacle, I'm dead. And so as far as I'm concerned, he was totally entitled to shoot. I don't see a police wrongdoing here. The Joe Biden administration is saying we will look into an investigation into this whole thing for civil rights. I don't see any civil rights being affected here. So he got shot, and right after he gets shot, he had so much his feet on the pedal to accelerate that the car ends up colliding. So the car collided in a house made with bricks.
shot fired! Shot fired! Don't move! Don't move!
Look at the wall. The wall of the house completely destroyed. And there you go. It could have been much graver because if the police didn't act, if the police leaves 5 more seconds, suddenly this collision is not a collision at 40 kilometers an hour, 60 kilometers an hour. Suddenly you're at 150 kilometers an hour. And now you're basically dead. So it was quick action that was needed here. Personally, I don't see this as being wrongful action of any kind being committed. So I wrote my opinion on Twitter. Here we go again in the eternal cycle of having to explain deontological ethics to the left every single time a policeman shoots a black suspect in America. What this shooting boils down to is that one more time, someone resisted arrest by police, attempted to flee from an arrest, and in the process of doing so, kidnapped a policeman. You can't kidnap a policeman. Apparently, we need to write this one on signs in some high schools. Whether these shootings involve kidnapping using a car and speeding, or when they involve only running, faking the draw of a gun, or drawing an actual weapon, they all boil down to the same game theoretic structure. The suspect is playing a game of chicken with the life of the policeman and his own life. In the game of chicken, two players are headed toward each other in a collision event that will be devastating for both. The players are daring each other not to be the first to swerve. This suspect played a game of chicken, one in which he was compromising equally his own life as well as that of the policeman, by forcing him to risk his life to the threat of reckless driving. The left should think about what would happen had the policeman not shot the suspect. The suspect would have gained speed and inevitably would have concluded that there is no way to flee the police. Then an idea would have emerged in his mind. I'm done, but at least I can take one of them with me. He would have collided full speed with the first obstacle he could find. The policeman could have died. There was no way for the policeman to obfuscate that threat, but to find a way to neutralize the suspect before he attained deadly speed. What is this policeman supposed to think to reason himself out of shooting an imminent threat to his life? What would he say to his wife, his daughters and sons after his death if he could speak to them? Sorry, you had to be deprived of contact with me for the rest of your life, but I couldn't shoot someone in the process of kidnapping me because I'm afraid of the judgment by the Twitter crowds. If you're going to be the player initiating the chicken game against an unwitting player, don't complain when the other unwitting player gets you beat. This is what I see in every single event of police shooting these days. It's always someone who decides, I'm going to dare them to have no other option but to shoot me. And it's all on the gray area of suicide by police. All these things. These guys appear to be so much at the border of not valuing life that they're like, hey, I can bet my life against this guy's life. I can get this guy involved in a chicken game that he hasn't chosen. And that is an act of aggression in and of itself. Mike Renova sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, follow the life of the car thief and you'll probably find drug addiction, among other reprobate choices too. A ripple of consequences of overprescribed addictive chemicals from Big Pharma, which is in turn caused by illegal money bribes to doctors. See Purdue Pharma. Yes, I agree that you will find this a kind of criminal lifestyle in general very often in those cases. You don't end up sleeping in a stolen car at 17 years old out of nowhere. You've been introduced to this world from very early age, very often. New York Post, with a very deceptive headline, they had written, coherent radio signal from alien planet hints at possibility of life outside of Earth? And I was like, probably not. You know, I've been consulting these clickbait articles in astronomy for so many years, and each of them is a fucking fraud. And I was pissed. And I was like, I knew it. I know it's a fraud before I click on it. So I clicked on it. What they call a coherent signal. If you tell me coherent, what I expect is a signal that would have language in it, where we would be able to decode this language and say, hey, this comes from an intelligent force. But no, what they call coherent is they have found that a star is bouncing off radiation, electromagnetic radiation, toward a planet, and the electromagnetic radiation bounces off around this planet in a way that is coherent with the idea that the planet has a magnetic field, like the Earth. That is not coherent. That is just, hey, we've observed that the Earth is not the only planet with a magnetic field here. We found a way, a technique, that allows us to show that there's some planet out there that also has a magnetic field. This is neither coherent nor evidence for life. What a sad field, the field of science education and the general public, filled with frauds, filled with people who try to oversell because they haven't quite mastered the talent of making real science fascinating. This is concerning the police shooting. Federal civil rights investigation opened in the fatal police shooting of a 17-year-old in Washington, D.C. That's too bad, because with the current administration at the federal level, they might very well end up finding that it is wrong, what the police has done. But it is not wrong. The police had to do it to save his life. He was being kidnapped. What do you want to do? Do you want to train police not to shoot when they get kidnapped? Do you know what it's going to lead to? They're going to be extorted, they're going to be tortured, and they're going to be killed. Disclose that TV. Malaysia's PM proposes an Asian monetary fund to reduce dependence on the US dollar, says China's Xi Jinping welcomes further talks on the matter. Further developments of the multipolar world. Beautiful to see this Asian rise. Watcher Guru reports almost nobody paid taxes for crypto in 2022. Bloomberg reports. Well, that is interesting. It's not surprising, because the money to be made in crypto is the bull runs. And when you sell at a loss during a bear market, you're not going to have any income to report. So people are huddling their crypto, and therefore it makes total sense that there were no gains reported. The only people who can make money on a bear market are the people who make shorts and that kind of stuff. Definitely it's a possibility, but it's not most people. Ukraine will become a member of NATO.
NATO's position is that Ukraine will become a member of the alliance. And that position has not changed. But we know that there are at least two things we need to address to make that possible. One is that we need to ensure that Ukraine prevails as a sovereign, independent nation. Of course, any meaningful discussion about Ukraine as a member of the alliance.
The thing is, you cannot join NATO if you are engaged in a war. So if there, as long as there are Russians in your territory, Ukraine is stuck with two choices. Either they get rid of these territories and they say, oh, this is not Ukraine anymore, and then you abandoned it to the Russians, or you have to fight the Russians and push them back.
Has to be based on that Ukraine is a democratic, independent nation in Europe. And that's exactly what is now challenged or threatened by the brutal Russian invasion.
So I don't see it happening soon, because Well, unless Zelensky suddenly has a change of heart and decides to abandon a large chunk of his claims onto Ukraine. That could happen. That could happen that he's so close to losing that he would say, all right, we're never going to possibly win back Crimea or the South, and so I'm abandoning all of it to get a NATO entry. MicroStrategy has announced that they have bought more bitcoins, 1,045 bitcoins purchased in the last few days. Whenever you see the markets rise very positively, like it's been happening for a couple of days, you always have Michael Saylor coming out and saying, oh yeah, this was us. I was buying Bitcoin all day, clicking on buy, buy, buy. That's what makes the price rise. What has Chicago done? They have kicked Mayor Lightfoot out, but apparently they replaced her with someone that they say is even more extreme. Exactly the opposite of what the city needed. So he's for defunding the police and defunds looting as an outbreak of incredible frustration and anguish tied to a failed racist system. Well, Chicago is going down the drain because I didn't have any hope that Chicago would be able to, I don't know, to change the course of things. I didn't expect the exit of Lightfoot to be a major turning point in the history of Chicago. But yeah, so this guy is now the mayor of Chicago, and we should expect just as bad as a management as any past administration. DK Shadow says there is no saving these cities. They don't want to be saved. Exactly. You have to abandon them, leave them behind. There's no other solution. Israeli cops beat worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Rockets fly from Gaza. IDF bombs strip. A lot of violence in this video. I can play maybe a small segment, but we don't see much, but it's happening in the dark. Total violence against the Muslims who are praying in some, they are worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's not the first time we see this kind of violence, but probably one of the worst events I've seen in terms of just beating down on people. And it's all the whole, it's the rejection campaign of the Israeli government that they've been on for oppressing Muslims, pushing Muslims away from their faith centers, and ultimately having this kind of, yeah, let's admit it, you know, a Jewish supremacist kind of policy, which is the only kind of supremacism that the left has nothing to say about generally. But yeah, it's what's going on, and this is all combined with strikes and striking onto other countries, either Syria, sometimes Iranian forces, sometimes within Palestine. A very problematic situation. I don't know how this will be resolved. Here we have their entry into the hall of this mosque. All right, so that is the situation in Israel. NVIDIA slips as Japanese chip-making export controls slated to take effect. So some punitive chip exports that have been imposed, I believe, by the U.S. So after a decision by Japan to... Okay, so Japan is joining the U.S. and the Netherlands in restricting exports of chip-making gear to China. So they have been trying to strangle the strangle the chips economy, especially coming out of China. They basically want to develop a cartel of production that doesn't let China be a player. All of this is based on reasoning that is purported to be around security and national security. But I'm afraid it's just good old leftist cartels developing into the chips industry simply because they can't compete with the Chinese ones. That is my impression. That is really too bad because you have organizations that have built their entire industrial production counting on China being a developing force in certain markets. And now it's worth nothing just because of a clap of the fingers by our politicians. Micronova says, there is a game on Steam called Knights of Al-Aqsa Mosque, coded by a Palestinian living in South America. It's a first-person shooter that follows the life of a Palestinian fighting back against oppression. Okay, thanks for letting me know. I won't play this game. But thanks for letting me know. All right, I don't like computer games that have a message to it. it reminds me too much of this this ridiculous game that was made by Brianna. Who was it? Brianna something? You know, this game about depression. And it's like, bro, even I, who's an intellectual who enjoys thinking about stuff and knowing about the hot subjects of the day. Oh, Zoe Quinn was the programmer. Zoe Quinn. Even I want to hear about political engagements of all kind. I don't want your political engagement to invade a game. Like, this is protected space, okay? There's no way I'm going to have fun playing a game that is meant to somehow impose a message onto me. What else do we have? A last news item. We have lost the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The Wisconsin Supreme Court flips blue for the first time in 15 years. This is extremely worrying to a lot of people because if you have Wisconsin being one of the, you know, one of the states on which the presidential is determined, and if they're progressively turning very much Democrat, and on top of it, we don't have a Supreme Court to make sure that the rules around elections are kept tight, we might have lost Wisconsin forever in terms of the hope of having a Republican presidential victory in there. So that is a big concern to people. There are people who are even calling on Twitter right now saying that means that the Republicans can never win again. Perhaps it is. I mean, there will be one day where it's basically impossible for the right to win unless the other side is really, really bad. It might be this day right now. It might happen now. So that is it for today. Thank you so much for being with me. And yeah, I will see all of you tomorrow. Bye-bye.